السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: كم من صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع، وكم من قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, we are indeed fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us life in this blessed, in this auspicious, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, already 2 months prior to the month of Ramadan, he was anticipating, he was eager, he was looking forward to the blessed month of Ramadan. And we know the famous dua that was recited by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the month of Rajab: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a great desire, anticipation for this blessed month of Ramadan. The famous hadith narrated by Salman radiallahu anhu on the last day of Sha'ban, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises the Sahaba ikram, قَدْ أَضَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ, that soon a month will come upon you, a very great month. It is a very blessed month. Now of course, the definition of greatness for each person varies. But when the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defines something as great, we can understand how great that really must be. But who could have understood greatness better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who could have understood that which was more blessed, or that which was really blessed, greater and better than the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hence, just to be alive as a believer in this month of Ramadan in itself is a great blessing and a virtue. Just to be in a state of fasting in this month of Ramadan in itself is such a great virtue and blessing. We find in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, for example, a person who intentionally leaves out a fast in the month of Ramadan, or without any valid reason breaks his fast in the month of Ramadan, then though this person fasts his entire life out of the month of Ramadan, he will still not be able to make up the virtue and the reward and the blessings of that one fast in the month of Ramadan. So from this we understand how great this month of Ramadan is. This is a month in which Allah Ta'ala's mercy is descending, a month in which Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is descending, a month in which Allah Ta'ala is willing to forgive and forgive. In fact, the word Ramadan means that the sins are being burnt. The sins will be burnt away by means of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. So indeed, respected elders and brothers, we are extremely fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has granted us life in this blessed and Mubarak month of Ramadan. Of course, we know that this is a favor upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just a brief history, that Allah Ta'ala, due to his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and again on this point, how fortunate are we that Allah Ta'ala selected weak ones like us without any registration, without any application, without any deposit or payment, that Allah Ta'ala selected us to be from the greatest ummah, from the greatest of all umam, from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, anbiya and prophets were making dua to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But again, without any application, registration, Allah Ta'ala chose weak ones like myself to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, respected elders and brothers, if we have to place our head in sajda from now till qiyamah, just to thank Allah for this one bounty, that too it is not enough. This is such a ni'mah and bounty of Allah Ta'ala. And with this bounty comes so many favors. So many favors that Allah has blessed the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of those favors is that Allah Ta'ala brought the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam last. Allah Ta'ala gave the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the shortest of lifespan. Now, one may say that, well, Mulisab, I would like to live in this world for a long period of time. That doesn't seem like a real bounty. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, that this world is a place of trial and tribulation. This world is a place of hardship. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Allah has created man in constant toil and sacrifice. If we have to elaborate, the person will understand that when he is young, when he's a little infant, there too there's challenges. He's trying to learn how to walk, then he's trying to learn how to, you know, eat, then he's trying to learn how to relieve himself. Then when he goes to, you know, the primary lessons and school, then he's got to deal with a new environment, and it goes on and on. And as the person gets older, now the responsibilities get larger, larger and larger. The pressures then increase. Then the person becomes a father. When he becomes a father, the challenges intensify. The person becomes a grandfather, now the responsibilities are even more. Now he's worrying about the grandchildren too. One person came to our late Moinus Patel Sahib, Nawadallahu Marqadahu. MashaAllah, Allah had blessed him with a lot of wealth. And he was working very, very hard. So Maulana asked him that, you're working so hard, why are you working so hard? Because by now you must have already sorted out your children. So he said, no, Alhamdulillah, you know Maulana, I set myself up. I've set my children up. And now I'm working to set my grandchildren up. So Maulana said, then when will it stop? We'll just go on and on. Your responsibility was only your children. But look at how shaitan makes a person continue and continue and continue. And the person becomes so absorbed in the activities of this world that he forgets his real purpose and objective and goal. That responsibility should have been the son or the son-in-law, that they will be responsible for the grandchildren. The person has to leave it to them. But this is how the person gets caught up in, if we may say, the rat race of this world. May Allah protect us. So Allah Ta'ala gave the ummah of Rasulullah SAW a very short lifespan. Now one may say that why can't we live long in this world? But again, this world is a place of toil, of trial, of tribulation. The person eats too much, that is a problem. Eats too little, that too is a problem. The person sleeps too much, that's a problem. The person sleeps too little, that's a problem. We find this world is full of challenges and difficulties and problems. So Allah Ta'ala, out of His love for Rasulullah SAW, gave the ummah of Rasulullah SAW a very short period of trial and tribulation, if we may say. That in this world you have to be tested for a very short period of time. But now there is an objection that can be raised. That when the ummah of Rasulullah SAW has been given such a short lifespan, then if we compare that to the ummah and the nations of the past, then we find that Allah has given them such long lifespan. 500 years we hear incidents of Nuh alayhi salam preached to his ummah for 950 years. Can we imagine what his lifespan was? So now a person who lived in this world for 1,000 years or 500 years, he has more opportunity to do good deeds. He has a greater opportunity to invest in the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala, out of his love for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how fortunate again are we to be blessed, to be from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we are given a very short lifespan. The average lifespan of the ummah of Rasulullah SAW is mentioned in the hadith is between 60 and 65 years of age. The person will only live in this world for 60 years, 65. If a person is beyond 65, he should consider himself as being given some bonus years. That I've got some additional years to my credit. I need to make the most of it. The person who is at his 50 should say to himself, it looks like I only have about 10 to 15 years left in this world. That is why Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Majub rahmatullah alayhi says, عمر ہو رہی ہے مثل برف کم عمر ہو رہی ہے مثل برف کم چپ کے رفتہ رفتہ دم بدم He says that, Ya Allah, my life is melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. Drop by drop, minute by minute, second by second, as every second passes by, the life is melting away. Another poet says, Qadam suwe marqad, Qadam suwe marqad, Nazar suwe dunya, Kaha ja rahe ho, kidhar dekhta. He says, you are walking towards your grave. As every second passes by, that's 1 second closer to your grave. People celebrate birthdays, we won't go into the masla. But the reality is, that is it really a moment of celebration? The person now, is he celebrating? That I'm 1 year closer to my grave. I'm 1 year closer to meeting Allah Ta'ala. One more year of my life has been wasted. Is that a moment of celebration? Or is it really a moment of shedding tears before Allah Ta'ala? That Ya Allah, one more life, one more year of my life has been squandered. It'll never return again. I'm 1 year closer to my grave. I'm 1 year closer to meeting you. I should be shedding tears. I should be crying. I should be doing some introspection that has the direction of my life changed. Am I closer to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Or have I become more absorbed in the glitter, the temporary glitter and glamour of this world? So he says, Qadam suwe marqad, Nazar suwe dunya, Kaha ja rahe ho, kidhar dekhta ho. We are walking towards our graves. We are looking in the opposite direction. What will we say about that person who's walking straight and looking behind? We say, bhai, the next light pole, you had it. You're going to knock into the next light pole. You need to look. You need to focus where you're walking. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, Allah has given us a very short life compared to the other nations. Very, very short lifespan. But Allah is giving us wonderful opportunities which will never come back again. Great opportunities. Laylatul Bara'a that passed by. The person had an ideal opportunity to completely purify himself, to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given us a life to witness this month of Ramadan. What is the purpose of this month of Ramadan? What is the goal of the month of Ramadan? What is the objective of the month of Ramadan? This few minutes that we have on this platform of Jum'ah, may Allah ta'ala make it such that it creates a zeal and enthusiasm and helps us focus and redirect our lives and take advantage of every second and moment in this month of Ramadan. And the purpose we hear in the Qur'an Majeed, Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ تَاكَ تُمْ پَرْهَلْزِ ہو جاؤ, so that you can become pious. تَاكَ تُمْ أَلَّا وَالَا بَنْ جاؤ, so that you can become a wali of Allah, so that you can develop this quality of taqwa, you can become close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We find that we have different kinds of ibadah. We have the direct ibadah, and we have the indirect ibadah. The indirect ibadah is, we know that every single action that a believer does, and this is the beauty of Islam, with the right intention, it can become an act of worship. It can become an ibadah. The person goes out to work with this intention, ki Ya Allah, it is your hukam. And Rasulullah has taught us, طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ, that to earn a halal livelihood is compulsory. And I am fulfilling this act of compulsion, and I'm going out to support my family, to pay the rent, lights and water. Our late Mu'ayyin Sahib is to give an example. He says, you have two individuals. One person is sitting in the masjid the entire day, and he's making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has got responsibilities on his shoulder. He's got rent to pay, he's got lights, he's got water, but he sits in the masjid the entire day. MashaAllah, everybody says, yeah, so this person is a very, very pious person, a very, very pious individual. And Mu'ayyin says, you have another person who goes out to the marketplace and he's just selling potatoes and tomatoes. And all day, potatoes, tomatoes, potatoes, tomatoes. And his intention is correct. That, Ya Allah, I am doing this so that I can pay the rent, lights and water. I can support my family because this is a hukam. It's a responsibility on my shoulders. And I have to fulfill this responsibility. Hazrat used to say, in the eye of Allah, that person who is going to the marketplace calling out potatoes and tomatoes is more beloved to Allah than that person who is stationed in the masjid, abandoning his responsibility and his duty and his right. So therefore we find that every single act that we do in this world, even though it may be linked to the worldly activities, with the correct intention, the person can turn that mundane activity into an act of worship. Going to the marketplace, going to visit people with the correct intention, the person can turn that mundane action into an act of worship. However, there is a great possibility that the person can hide an ulterior motive by saying that it is an act of worship, that I am going, his real objective of going to work is that he is a millionaire, but he wants to become a multi-millionaire. He has got one car, but he wants two cars. He's got one property, but he wants two properties. So the real objective of him going to work is not really to see to the needs of the family, but it is to increase his portfolio, to increase his investment, so that when he's sitting with his friends, he can boast and show how wealthy he is. But he says, no, you know, it's an act of worship. It's Allah Ta'ala's hukam. So a person can easily camouflage his real intent by saying that it is an act of worship. Hence Allah Ta'ala has made it such that every mu'min has to always engage in some direct form of ibadah. During the day, the person has to wake up for Fajr Salah and engage in a direct form of ibadah. 5 times a day a person has to do this. In the same way Allah Ta'ala makes it such that in the month of Ramadan, a person has to stop whatever he's doing. He has to readjust his entire schedule and he has to engage in this direct form of ibadah. So that in this way the person can purify his intention. The person can reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, we have great, great opportunities in this month of Ramadan. Sometimes we understand things by means of examples. Shah Abrar al-Haq sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to give an example which was standard every single Ramadan. He used to say that if the government has to announce that, brother, you are a very loyal citizen of our country, we are very, very happy with you, we are satisfied with you. So as a token of appreciation, we are going to be delivering a money-making machine to your home. And it will print genuine 200 notes, not even fake. Genuine 200 notes. And you will have this machine for 29 and possibly even 30 days. Now, we all, mashallah, we know the value of 200. And we get so happy when we see the 200 notes rolling in our business. It brings us a sense of accomplishment. We feel very, very excited as we see that 200 notes going into the till. The person, at the end of the day, he comes home, even though he may have had some challenges during his work time and the staff were giving him a bit of a headache and the customers. But if he sees that nice, thick stack of 200 notes in the till, he feels that, you know, it was worth it. Never mind, I don't mind the difficulty I went through. But I'm going home with this nice, big bundle. I feel like I've achieved something. Why? Because we understand the value of money. We understand the value of wealth. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the realization and the understanding of the wealth of the Akhirah. The wealth of this world will be left behind, respected elders and brothers. The person will leave his car behind. We will leave our houses behind. We will leave that cell phone behind. That entire investment portfolio that you have, it will be left behind. And not only left behind, it will move on to someone else. It will be transferred to someone else. As Imam Yunus Sahib used to say, the reality is even if you bought your house, you're living in a timeshare apartment. Even if you purchased your house and you have the title deed in the safe or kept at the lawyer's office, and the reality is it is a timeshare apartment. You're going to live there for a short period of time and then that title deed will be passed on to someone else. It'll be passed on to your heirs and then they will either sell it or distribute it. So we are living in this world and that house that you're feeling a sense of accomplishment that you've purchased it, one of your greatest assets that you've acquired. But the reality is there too, you are living in a timeshare apartment. Why attach yourself to something that is so temporary? The reality is that house will be left behind. That apartment will be left behind. That car will be left behind. But what will accompany us in our graves and into the Akhirah will be our good deeds. These investments that we've made in this world. Again, we'll bring Mu'ayyana Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi again into the topic of discussion. That once he was in Saudi and he was meeting a Arab, very wealthy Arab person, brought him home, introduced him. And then he started speaking to Maulana about how much of wealth Allah has blessed him with. He said that, you know, I inherited from my father, let alone the properties and the businesses. Besides all of that, I inherited 200 gold bars. Now, if a person has a Kruger coin, he's feeling very excited. Can you imagine having an entire gold bar and 200 of them? Besides everything else that he had. So he was going on and on speaking about all the wealth that Allah had blessed him with. So Maulana looked down. So he said, Shaykh, are you okay? So he said, no, I'm okay. I'm just looking into the heart to see whether there's any, you know, greed that is coming to the heart. But he said, but in any case, I also have made some investments. So the businessmen are always looking for opportunities. He said, Shaykh, where you made investment? So he says, I went to Kaabatullah Sharif and in front of the Kaaba, I made some investments there. At Hajar-e-Aswad, I made some investments there. At the Hatim, I made some investments there. Investments in the Akhirah, turning to Allah Ta'ala, crying before Allah Ta'ala, making dua for one's akhirah, those are the real investments which will not only benefit the person in this world, but it will benefit the person in the akhirah. That is the real investment. May Allah give us the realization. So this month of Ramadan, Allah has blessed us with opportunities. That money-making machine again, it's dropped off at your home. What will a person do? The person will make sure even before the machine comes, you call the electrician, just make sure the DB board is working properly. Plus there's load shedding. So can you just organize a backup generator just in case? Because I want this machine to be running constantly all the time. And we'll have some redundancy to bring another generator in case that generator backs up. Because we want that machine to be running all the time. And if somebody says, okay, buddy, why don't you stop now? You're in this machine for very long. Why don't you have a break for lunch? He said, you bring the lunch here. Bring the lunch here. I'll have the lunch while this machine is rolling. Then I want to see the notes rolling also. May Allah Ta'ala give us the realization this month of Ramadan, we have an opportunity, a money-making machine for the akhirah. An investment opportunity in the akhirah. Every second of this month of Ramadan, we are acquiring great amounts of reward. As in that hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one fard salah multiplied 70 times. And there is no shortage in the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah wants to multiply more than that, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ Allah can even multiply more than that. So a person performs his Jumu'ah Salah, he has the opportunity of 70 Jumu'ah Salah, at least. How much of opportunities we have? Every single act is multiplied so many times. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, make and take advantage of every moment. But even if we don't make that much ibadah, even if the person just performed his fara'id, and the person fasted in the month of Ramadan, he couldn't read 10 paras a day. Imam Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah Ali, regarding the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, he said, I saw with my own eyes such individuals who used to recite 40 juz of the Quran every single day in the month of Ramadan. And he said, not only that, they would hardly sleep at night, be fully engaged in the ibadah, yet they were so pious, but they still were anxious and they had that zeal and enthusiasm that how I can get more and more and more. These were the businessmen of the akhirah. That guy, you find the businessmen in this world, they're looking for every investment opportunity. More and more and more. Those who are the investors of the akhirah, they are looking for every investment opportunity in the akhirah. So even if we can't engage in that level of ibadah, and respected elders and brothers, the least we can do is go on a diet from sins. Don't commit any sins in the month of Ramadan. You are staying away from food, you are staying away from drink. Stay away from backbiting. Don't make ghibah of anyone. And this is one of the easiest sins in the month of Ramadan. ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكْ بِمَا يَكْرَ Speaking bad about your brother, such a thing that if he has to hear it, he'll become very upset. You heard about this one. You heard about that one. You heard that what this Maulana is doing. You heard what that organization is doing. And we enjoy this. Not realizing in the process, we are destroying all our good deeds. And then we don't feel the effect of our ibadah. One great wali of Allah said that, you know, you can have the air conditioner in the masjid at full temperature, full cold temperature. You know, it's on the highest level. But in that same masjid, if a person has a big bonfire and, you know, it's burning and blazing. So now we won't say that the air conditioner is not working. But what we will say is that you are not going to really feel the effect of the air conditioner because of this fire that is here. All you need to do is extinguish this fire. Even if you don't put the air conditioner on such a high speed or level, and even if you have it on a low level but there's no bonfire and blazing fire in the masjid, you will still feel the effect of that aircon that is switched on. In the same way, in this month of Ramadan, every effort needs to be exerted to the elimination and to stopping from committing any sin. Someone comes to you and says, you heard about this one? Brother, I am fasting. Inni sa'im. I am fasting. I do not want to speak something about that person. And remember that this is such a sin, the sin of ghibah. There are many other sins that are attached to it. A person constantly makes ghibah of the next person, it slowly but surely creates pride in the heart. Because you start looking down upon the next person. And what is pride? Batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. You look down upon the next person. So when you start making ghibah of the next person, slowly but surely, pride starts creeping into the heart without you even realizing. And now you start regarding yourself as superior and the next person as inferior. And this is extremely dangerous. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the qualities of humility. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the himmat and the courage to stay far away from sins. Just as we are restraining ourselves from food and drink, let us transcend the strength that Allah has given us and restrain ourselves from violating any command of Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, this month of Ramadan develops the quality of sympathy in our hearts. And we, especially in South Africa, we should be very, very sympathetic of our Muslim brothers and sisters, especially in Gaza. How can we forget them? There should not be a day that we do not make dua for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Imagine what kind of fasting they are going through. Imagine what kind of a Jum'ah they will be performing today. Imagine what kind of food are they looking forward to for iftar today. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon them. May Allah Ta'ala alleviate the suffering. May Allah Ta'ala restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala hold the hand of the oppressors and grant them guidance. But if guidance is not written for them, may Allah destroy them like how He destroyed the Aad and Thamud. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.